May that be our prayer, not only this morning, but every morning. Order my steps, Lord, helping us to walk in His ways and in His Word. And speaking of His Word, our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, 3 and 4. We looked at last week, but in order for us to take a look at 5 and 6, we need a little more context that 3 and 4 provide as we're continuing on in our sermon series, Who Am I? And we're working our way through the first chapter of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He lavished on us in the Beloved One. The Word of God for the people of God. Well, again, we're wrestling with that question that has been pondered throughout the ages. Who am I? If you'll remember in our time together last week, we learned that the only way we can find the answer to this most profound question is in Jesus Christ. That when we try and look elsewhere, what we're doing is we're actually answering different questions. We're actually answering, what do I do? Or how am I feeling? And things like that, rather than asking, who am I, and answering it. It is in Christ that we truly find our identity, and we find that we've been chosen by God. That word foundation actually is better translated as before the disruption of the world, before God's perfect creation was disrupted, before Satan fell from heaven, God chose you and me. And we talked about how since we've been chosen so miraculously and born anew, that now all of a sudden our lives are directed by God's will, defended by God's peace, and defined by God's choice. That was last week. Now this week we shift gears and we move forward with yet another discovery that helps us to understand who we are in Christ, and that is that we are accepted completely. And I imagine that's refreshing to hear, because I think on some level we all long for acceptance, right? How many of us have ever felt like we were unaccepted and we didn't like it? Whether it's at work, whether it's on the playground, whether it's in our family, we long to feel accepted. And sometimes, how many of us have ever had trouble looking in the mirror and accepting ourselves? Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever struggled with the idea or the thought that if people truly knew the real you, they might not accept you anymore? They might not like you anymore? How many of us have ever felt unworthy? We talk each week about God's love poured out so freely and graciously upon us. Anybody ever felt unworthy of it? When we fall, when we sin, when we mess up, that's a tool of Satan, by the way. He wants to beat us down. I want you to know that acceptance that God gives, it is one of the best blessings and benefits of being in Christ. You see, I think a lot of us can relate on some level to the experience of a woman named Jane Addams. If you haven't heard of her, she's a social reformer and the first American woman to ever have won the Nobel Peace Prize. In the 1900s, the Daughters of the American Revolution elected her to be an honorary member. But after Adam's anti-war stance during World War I and her insistence that everyone had the right to trial by due process, they expelled her. And she commented that she had always thought that her election to this organization was for life, but now she knew that it was only for good behavior. That's how we treat acceptance, isn't it? Isn't that what the world does? If people like what we do, they accept us. If they don't like what we do, they don't accept us. I want you to know God's acceptance of you is nothing like the acceptance the world offers. It operates on a much deeper level, and it comes with a very important condition: Jesus Christ. There is no fellowship with God apart from Him. You see, this acceptance is not about performance. It's not about you having to attain to a certain level, you having to be perfect in everything or make as few mistakes as possible. It's not about you accomplishing certain things as we talked about last week. No, it's about you becoming who you were always meant to be. And that part of you that's made in the image of God, your spirit being born anew, regenerated, and God looking at you and seeing the righteousness of Christ covering you completely, and you being set apart forever for a new plan and a new purpose. You see, this acceptance is all about positioning. It's about positioning yourself in Christ. It's about positioning yourself under the authority of God, and trusting that the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is enough for you to be at peace with Him. You see, God did not adopt you. We're going to get into that in this passage in Jesus Christ because you met a certain level of performance. He didn't wait until I was right. He didn't wait until I read my Bible enough. He didn't wait until I prayed enough. No, He chose me since the disruption of the world to be set aside for His glory. Because see, here's the thing. If it were performance, then God could just as easily cast me aside when I didn't perform, couldn't He? If my whole life with God is based upon me performing at a certain level, then what happens when I don't? I'd get cast out. God also didn't accept you for your perfection, because as we all know, we are all imperfect people, and if that were the case, we would never be able to approach God with confidence. No, God accepted you because He chose to. He chose to set you aside in Christ. And we're going to explore what that means this morning, because this is a good and perfect plan that changes us forever. You see, because I am accepted completely, I am revealed as God's own. I talk about this every once in a while, but when I lived in Memphis, I hated it. It's not that it's a terrible city. It's just a city that I never want to live in and don't really want to drive through again. The crime was bad. Traffic was bad. And where I lived, everybody went home for the weekend, and it was just me. You know, and if you could imagine just walking around and you kind of being the only one there. And you struggle. You're like, where are all the people in this city of 500,000 people? I can't find any I click with. I can't find any that I want to spend time with. And they probably don't want to spend time with me either. And I struggled with feeling like I belonged anywhere. But here's what one of the greatest things about how God accepts us completely. He reveals that you're His own. You've been adopted into His family. You're His daughter. You're His son, whom He cherishes. And with adoption comes rich spiritual blessings. We've talked about this before, I believe it was a few months ago, how in their culture to be adopted literally meant to be pulled out of one life and placed into another. The old life is done, away with, never to be thought of again. It's all about the new life. To be adopted into God's kingdom is like that. You see, people today, they spend far too much time chasing after the approval of others. Anybody ever done that? Right? I want you to know that that kind of pursuit isn't healthy. For one thing, it causes us to live in fear. I don't like to be afraid. But if you've ever been a people pleaser, you know what it's like to be afraid. You know what it's like to fear letting someone down. You know what it's like to fear coming up short. And think about the freedom that comes from knowing that God has accepted who you are in Christ and that you've been set apart with Him forever. It also causes us to compete for affection, right? If I'm trying to gain somebody, if I want the choir's attention and Michael's getting too much of it, then I'm going to have to work hard to make him look bad so that then the choir will like me better. We don't have to do that with God. Just as one parent, I think about my children. I don't love Julianne more than Christopher or Christopher more than Julianne. They don't have to compete for my affection. So it is with God. And it causes us to doubt God's design. Right? We wonder, is there something wrong with me? What is going on here? Why? I just want people to like me. And so we struggle. You know, I had a dog growing up. It was one of my she was one of my favorite dogs. But before she came to my house, she was abused in some manner. And you could tell, because even when you went to pet her, she'd cower in fear. And it took years and years until she finally understood that in this home, that was never going to happen. In this home, she had a place and was loved and was cherished. And sometimes we need to remember as Christians that when we're thinking about acceptance, it's not the world's acceptance that should matter to us so much as it's God's. And in Him, we don't have to compete, we don't have to live in fear, and we don't have to wonder if we're some flawed design. Instead, we can understand that He has a purpose for us. Now, the next thought we enter into is very important because I don't want you to get the wrong idea. Because I'm accepted completely, I'm also restored by God's mercy. That word restored is very important. Michael, a few weeks ago, said a quote. It's one of my favorite quotes by Max Lucado. God loves you just the way you are, but He refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. When I say that you are accepted completely, I'm speaking specifically that part of you that is made in God's image, that has been set aside to be with Him forever, your spirit. I'm not talking about that part of you that wants to rebel from God every second of every day. I'm not talking about that sinful part of you. I'm speaking to that part of you which knows God, lives with God, and dwells with God. You know, when God accepts believers into his family through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, there is still more maturing to do. Because God does not accept your corrupted nature. Notice what we say. For he chose us in him since the foundation of the world to be holy and to be blameless. How? In Christ. He predestined us to be adopted through Christ for himself according to his favor and his will. For his marvelous grace, his glorious grace through it. My friends, that's why we still sin, right? When Kenny Butcher sins and stumbles, when I'm judgmental, when I'm jealous, when I'm greedy, when I lust after things of the flesh, when I talk about God accepting you, I'm not talking about that stuff. God is holy. And if you want to be in God's presence, you got to be covered by the righteousness of Christ. Otherwise, you will feel very uncomfortable there. God does not accept your corrupted nature. He doesn't accept your worldly intellect. You know, one of the problems we have is we have made acceptance all about accepting people as they are and never calling them to be something more. How many times have you ever heard someone say, "Oh, they're just that way. Oh, I know they're prideful, but that's just who they are. I know they're mean, but that's just their way. I know they're judgmental, but they can't help it." Right? No, the Holy Spirit, I don't know about anybody else, but it's been my experience that when I try and walk in the holiness of God, when I try and live there with God, and live that set-apart life, that when I try and give in, or unintentionally, I don't try and do it, but when I fall into the worldly stuff, I don't know about anybody else, but the Holy Spirit gets after me. He starts convicting me. He starts showing me where I'm messing up. He starts showing me where I need to repent, where I need to change, and he starts changing my thinking that led me there to the first place. And God does not also, he also does not accept your misguided heart. My friends, Scripture is very clear. We'd like to think that we all have hearts like David, whom God called a man after his own heart. But even David's heart was filled with corruption. What does the Scripture say? Our heart's filled with deceit. Filled up with it. Right? That's why we need help. That's why we need God's help. The old saints called this sanctification. And as you draw closer and closer to God, here's what I've come to discover. The more purifying I need. The only thing that changes is the part of me that needs to be purified. We're not talking about perfectionism either. We're just talking about a disposition, an orientation, realizing that each day, through God's grace, through his mercy, he restores you. It's like the person who gets a bad diagnosis from the doctor. What do? If they're smart, they start making some changes, right? Not too long ago, my dad got diagnosed with congestive heart failure. What did he do? He started making changes. When the Holy Spirit starts giving you a diagnosis, it's up to you to make the changes. He's not going to override your will. But when we're talking about acceptance, he's not talking about, Paul's not talking about, I'm not talking about that part of you that is still a work in progress that is corrupted, sinful, and chasing after the things of the world. We're not talking about your personality. We're not talking about your soul. We're talking about your spirit. And that part of you is set aside with God forever. For this reason, our final thought, because I am accepted completely, I am reshaped for God's glory. My whole meaning for existence changes. Instead of chasing after the things of this world, I'm chasing after the things of another world. I think it's one of the reasons why I love mission trips so much. It's because when we go on them, this world kind of fades away and gets a little smaller. We stop worrying about trying to compete for people's attention. We stop worrying about all the to-dos lists. We have one to-do list, and it's God's. And everything's done for His glory. My friends, that's what being accepted by the Lord is all about. We're reshaped for His glory. We're remade for His purposes. And He sets you and I apart, anyone who professes Christ, to be something more in Him, in Christ, than you could ever be. That's the invitation that Paul's making. That's a reminder that Paul's given. You've been predestined to be set apart for God's glory. Will you walk into that? Will you live in that blessing? The world's acceptance, it'll come and go. I mean, how many of us have seen the world dramatically changed in however long your lifetime is, right? You know what's going to happen 10 years from now? We're going to say, can you believe how much has happened these last 10 years? What the world accepts, what it doesn't accept, all that's going to fade away. And you know who's going to be there? God. His acceptance. And it's not something you chase for. It's not something you try and earn. It's something that you accept in Jesus Christ. And you apprehend it like everything else in the Christian faith, by faith and faith alone. That's the invitation this morning. Let us pray. Almighty God, we know the enemy tries to fill us full of lies. He tries to doubt God's love for us. He tries to cause us to doubt God's calling upon our lives and God's plans for us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to remember that we have been accepted completely. That our spirit has been set aside forever. And because of that, our soul no longer has to chase after the things of this world, and instead can be conformed to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's image. But we can't do it without your help. We know it is you living in us and you working through us. So we pray for that aid this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Michael comes forward to lead us in our closing hymn, I want you to worship. I want you to praise Him. I celebrate that acceptance you have in God that doesn't pass away like the leaves on the trees that are soon going to be falling. No, it lasts forever. Help us to remember that. And I promise you, you'll be blessed if you do.